Welcome to the Hollywood Outsider. In this episode, we're going to talk about changing tone in movies and TV and a lot of other stuff, as well as a review of Thor, Love and Thunder. Let's get on with the show. My name is Aaron Peterson. Joining me today, my fellow host, John Davenport.
Hey, buddy. How you doing today?
Wonderful. Troy Heinrichs.
Hey, we're back.
Well, not all of us. Amanda Sink will not be here this week. She assures us she will be back next week.
The shock through the crowd was so loud, I almost heard it.
I know. She assures us she'll be back next week. She was having difficulties finding a location because she just moved. She made a big move to Texas, just so you know. She made a big move from Illinois to Texas because she wants to change the political landscape or something.
And after that short period in Texas, she immediately took off to Canada.
That's true.
Yeah, she had to go wash the Texas off of her by going to Canada almost immediately. I get that. Like, I think, isn't it like she's not allowed to own land or something in Texas because she's a woman? Is that what it is?
Something like that.
I think you don't vote. I don't know. I don't want to offend everybody in Texas, just the people that think that way.
Right. I'm with you.
Exactly. She just made a life change. So she's in Texas now, and so she'll be more regular, of course, but not this week.
Oat bowls.
What did you say? Oat bowls?
Oat bowls.
What's
more regular?
Bowls? Is that
fiber? It's a poo joke.
I don't get it. I'm trying to understand it. If you can explain it.
I just did. It's a poo joke.
Okay. I get it now. I don't know what that is. I didn't know.
Well, Aaron, poo is what happens to food you eat it.
We just there were three people that finally tried the show out new, and they're never coming back. You just killed it.
I've done my job.
What have you guys been doing? We've been off for, 2 weeks? Well, Troy and I came back because we're dedicated to do Stranger Things. But outside of that, we haven't had a regular episode in a couple weeks. So anybody been doing anything exciting?
No.
Mm-hmm. The energy is palpable.
It's about the answer I expected from John.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I spent a lot of time with family. I spent some time this weekend. I actually spent some time with a friend and did a bunch of brewery hopping, which was fun. And some it's like my release of the diet that I've put myself under, which it's not really that much of a diet. It's more so like whatever I can fit in the fridge up here because it's just nowhere to eat. But I had a lot of fun this weekend. I spent some time rebuilding a whole lot of drones and testing them out and realizing, oh yeah, there's not a lot of places to fly around here, or else I will lose a drone in a tree in 2 seconds flat.
Can't you fly it over the trees? And the whole point, I see YouTube videos, they're always above the tree line.
Yeah, but I'm not that kind of pilot. I'm more like, hey, let me see if I can dive in that hole. So
he's a spelunker.
That sounds like you're not a drone pilot.
That's also a poo joke.
That's, well, I mean, it could be a poo joke or a different kind of joke. I'm like, is that a hole? Because I'm going to hit it.
Oh, speaking of, weren't you just working on a dating app or something?
I got rid of that.
Okay.
You want to hear the whole story as to why?
Is it interesting?
I mean, sort of. It was a growth moment for me. But like, I started talking to like a few different people, and I was having some fun just talking to people.
I don't know if we quite answered if you wanted to hear it, but go ahead.
Huh?
Nothing. Continue, please.
Well, all right.
I'm riveted.
And then I started talking to somebody who I thought was very interesting and very cool. And she actually lived in my old state of where I lived and where I plan on going back to. And at one point in the conversation, which she was throwing out a lot of hints about going on a date and get something to eat, that sort of thing, I finally went, hey, I don't know if I'm going to be living there because I'm not there right now, but I'll be there maybe in 6 months. And then she kind of disappeared. So I was like, all right, I'm not ready for this.
Wow. See, that's why you just ignore everybody. It works. That's my dating advice for everyone. Just ignore them. Whoever you're into, just ignore them. That whole shower them with this and that, I've just never understood that concept. It just feels like so much work.
I mean, maybe you could change sides, John, like I did when I went on my bike ride with all my friends.
It's true. By the way, I saw your giant bike picture where you were on your massive bike ride, and you need to maybe invest in a sock. Just
sorry. I have
just kidding. I'm kidding. Troy, tell me about this bike thing. You went on like 80-mile bike ride. And I know people are like, get to the movies and TV. We'll get there. People often ask, why don't you have to talk about more personal stuff? We're taking a few minutes and doing that because we've been gone for a couple weeks. So.
Well, it wasn't an 80-mile bike ride. It was a 350-mile bike ride over 4 days.
Oh, that stopped being cool and sounds horrible now. Why?
Yeah, it was about 80 miles a day. We did one day that was 110. What? But it was a good time. It was a lot of fun. We went on some old train tracks that used to run through the middle central western Wisconsin between La Crosse and the Elroy Sparta Trail. That was all limestone and gravel for 50 miles, but they have these really cool tunnels where the trains used to go through, and they have these giant doors, think like castles size doors, okay, like a drawbridge, but not a drawbridge, just doors to close, but paneled. And the reason why they have these doors was because in the winter time, they have the doors closed to keep the heat in the tunnel so that the tunnel wouldn't crack and collapse. And so they actually had a job of a guy who was a doorman to open these doors when the train came through and then close it behind the train and then open it on the other end. So we had to actually go through these tunnels in order to go on the bike trail. It was actually really cool.
That sounds really cool. But every picture I saw, you were drinking whiskey and stuff. Like, where in the bike ride does that occur?
That occurs at the end of the day. The goal was on the bike ride, who has the best supper club in Wisconsin, who has the best old fashioned in Wisconsin, and who has the best cheese curds in Wisconsin. So it was a science experiment along the bike journey. And where was the best ice cream?
And you made it, correct?
And I made it all 350 miles from La Crosse, Wisconsin, to Wisconsin Dells, to Madison, to Milwaukee, to Waukegan, to Schaumburg.
And you even took a little bump, but you kept going, right?
I took two bumps, actually. The first one was on the first day. I actually rode into the entire Illini cycling team. Head-on collision. It was super not fun.
So why am I laughing if it's not?
Sorry. And it became a running joke for the whole thing, because even though these guys were questioning my sexuality on the last show, I actually crashed into a female. And so the whole time we were going the rest of the bike ride, it was always like, okay, Troy, she's good looking. Make sure you don't crash into her now.
We weren't questioning. We were just commenting. There's a huge difference.
I am not judging in any way, shape, or form. I love you for who you are. Be your best self.
The second one was actually the scary one. I actually was downtown Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and I caught my bike tire in the train tracks and basically landed on my noggin.
That is bitter.
So I was down off my bike for about a week.
You're pretty lucky on that one.
I was wearing my helmet. So PSA, wear your helmet. It will save your life. Literally.
Yeah.
Because if you see the picture of my helmet, you'd understand, because it was cracked basically in half.
Yep. One time I didn't wear my helmet when I flipped, and I wish I would have. So definitely wear a helmet, even if it looks ridiculous, which it does.
But then I got back from the bike ride and I ended up chasing an adult Lego set because they re-released the DeLorean from Back to the Future.
Ooh.
And the new version is much sleeker, much more car looking than the boxy version from 2013. And you can actually build it in all three variations from all three movies.
I really, really want the DeLorean to show up in the next two Fast and the Furious movies.
Well, see, that would be a cool crossover.
Universal owns all of it. Make it happen. Just why they didn't use a DeLorean instead of a Fiero for that space scene makes no sense to me. It felt like a perfect crossover.
That why didn't they have amazing. Han show up in a DeLorean? Because then it would have made more sense.
Sure. I don't know what to tell you. It's crazy. The game that we had in the very last episode, original episode we had, where I was trying to decide between Independence Day and Jaws for my pool outdoor screening. It was Independence Day 1, and I drank too much, which feels like it goes without saying. But I tried to, because I'm trying to do TikTok for Hope. I'm trying to do some TikToks. I suck at it. Very, very bad at it. And so I drank too much. So I wanted to record when the speech came on, right? Because it's outside. We're in the pool. We're having a good time. Wanted to record it, but I had drank too much. So what I did was I recorded it at like whatever the slowest speed possible it is to record something. So when you replayed it, it was today. And I had posted it not watching it first. And I just saw it the next day and I can't figure out how to delete it. So if you go to our TikTok, it's still there, I think.
That's so
this is why
great.
Aaron calls me a narcissist for always listening to my stuff before I put it out there. And it's like, this is why.
Good call. We should probably talk about some movies and TV. There you go. You're caught up. Should mention Only Murders in the Building is back for season 3.
Whoop, whoop. Yes,
which Hulu called their crown jewel in their entertainment arsenal. How about that, huh?
Take that, Elizabeth Moss.
Yeah, right? Elizabeth Moss.
Suck it.
What show did you have? Everyone's already forgotten it.
Well, it's because it became a documentary all of a sudden. Yeah. But TBS canceled Chad just hours ahead of its season 2 premiere. This is wild. This isn't, I don't care anything about this show. I've never watched it. I don't know. I think Amanda saw it when it premiered and reviewed it back when she used to show up. But this, the show was canceled on its season 2 premiere day. So the second season's done. It's done. And they just said, nah, we're completely out of scripted programming. And that includes you, and just ripped it off. Can you believe that?
Based on the new ownership? Absolutely. I can believe it.
It's insane though. I think that's a little crazy. That's Discovery, right? Discovery is cracking down on a lot of their choices.
Like we talked about this a couple of weeks ago where Discovery is cracking down on a lot of their scripted shows and trimming a lot of fat off of Warner Brothers. And it doesn't not surprise me at all because like, you know, like Troy said it when he got on, what's this Chad show? And I'm like, I don't know.
We even watched it, but still.
I forgot TBS was even a network, to be honest.
Oh, I haven't, because my wife has Friends on every chance she has. And I don't like Friends. I've never liked Friends. It's one of those where I can walk by and chuckle, but I don't like it. And I think they play it all day long.
Isn't it on a streaming service that you could get it? You still don't need TBS.
She watches it on TBS. She apparently is cool with the commercials. I don't understand it either, Troy. I don't watch it. I just know that sometimes I walk by and there it is. I'm like, okay, going back to the basement.
I know you have HBO Max. It's on there.
I am not in charge of what she does. She is her own person.
I think we need an intervention to get him to drop his cable.
Right.
It's not cable. She watches it on Sling. It's not even like on TBS cable. She's actually streaming the commercial version. I don't understand it either.
Who actually uses Sling?
Well, A, Sling is actually kind of cool. I'm not going to throw shade at Sling. So I'm not going to be that.
Why would you get Sling when you can just get YouTube TV or already add Hulu Live to the Hulu you already have?
It's cheaper. Because there's only a couple channels I need on it, and it's much cheaper to do it through Sling. I've done the maths.
Do you really need the channels? Could you just buy the shows outright?
There's a couple channels I want. Don't worry. I know what's best for me, all right? And that's what's best for me. Plus, I share it with my brother, so I don't have to pay full price for that. All right.
There we go.
Now you understand.
The truth shall set you free.
It's even cheaper that way. Ah. But yeah, she does. She really does stream the commercial version. And it's craziest thing I've ever seen. HBO Max, but I like watching this.
If she's streaming it already.
I think she just wants to let it roll and not have to go back and find an episode or da 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 da. I assume that's why. I've never asked. We don't communicate very well, so I have no idea.
Is that why you're still together?
Trust me, it helps.
Considering the alternative, I believe you.
Yeah, it helps.
They don't talk to each other because they were on a break.
I see what you did there. I don't even watch that show, and I know what you did, what you're talking about. I did finally see the ending of that show, which is funny. I've always wanted to know how it ended, even though I never watched it. Isn't that weird? I've probably seen 5 to 10 episodes of Friends my whole life.
Okay.
But I wanted to see if Ross ended up with Rachel. And it was really just drawn out and exaggerated. Silly. Let's talk about Gentle Minions hashtag. This is interesting, and people feel wholly different about it. So apparently this whole thing started on TikTok or Reddit or some social media extravaganza that we're not cool enough to utilize. And I can't even record a freaking video on my fence and do it correctly. So what do I know? But groups of friends, typically high school students, showed up to theaters all across the world, not just here, the freaking world, and basically wore coats or full-length suits, even sporting the occasional cigar for the ultimate sophistication status, because of this hashtag, Gentle Minions. Then they would go and basically post on TikTok clips of themselves going in to see the movies. That they got their ticket stubs from, you know, these completely confused attendants. They strut into the theater with all kinds of musta and, you know, suave, and they just think they're cool as hell. I don't know. But it's all because of this hashtag. And it happened all over the world. And apparently it was very, very encouraged by Universal Pictures, but some theaters didn't like it. And there's 61 million views on TikTok there have been since of different people doing this using that hashtag. And while there were some disturbances with a couple theaters, one theater even doled out like $1,300 in refunds because, of course, you got to have the idiot group that has to go in there and ruin it for everybody. Overall, the issues have been kind of minimal. So my question to you, going through all of that and explaining that. So short version, young people all over the world decided, hey, you know what? We're going to put on suits. We're going to go see Minions of all things and, you know, put it on TikTok and we're going to celebrate going to the movies together. I don't see how this is a bad thing, but some people thought it was really annoying and ridiculous and damn the youth and everything else. John, what do you think?
Hey, I think it's actually a beautiful thing when you get essentially a whole generation, Generation Z, they all grew up with Despicable Me movies, and they get to this point where they've been waiting for a long time for this movie in particular to come out, and for them to kind of find a way to bond over something as silly as this, and to all show up to the theater just to dress up and go. I mean, I really like it. I'm sure that we're going to start seeing some marketing pushes that mirror this to some degree, because the Minion movie, which shouldn't have made as much money as it did, made some pretty great money over the weekend. Yeah, I'm for it. I think it's actually a really cool idea.
Pretty great. It's the number one grossing Independence Day opening ever.
Okay. I didn't read the article. I just looked at the pictures.
Yeah, that sounds about right. The Minions franchise, though, has always been very popular. So it's not like, wow, the last movie only did $50 million and this one is just going through the roof. It's a fantastic opening, don't get me wrong, but it also was already a popular series. Now, I don't know. Nobody knows. Nobody really knows how much this drove business, but 61 million views means a lot of people did it because there's a lot of videos. Mm-hmm. So it did drive some business.
Yeah, there are people that probably weren't going to go see it, and they were like, oh, I want to be cool on TikTok, so I'm just going to go do this just so I can get my pictures on TikTok and be in the trending video section.
Or you know how it is when you've got a group of guys, you know, group of guys, like, all right, we're all going to put on suits. Uh-huh. All right, I'm there. Okay, good. And then we're going to go to a place. Uh-huh. All right, I'm in so far. And then we're going to sit down. Okay, all right, what are we going to do next? And we're going to watch the new Minions movie. What? I don't know if I want to do this. You're doing this, Stevie and Chad and Beaner. We are all going to do it because Beaner? I said so.
Okay.
We're going to come in our jeans and our white t-shirts and our aviator sunglasses with a volleyball and watch Top Gun.
Oh, shit. I really can't make fun of them ever because I did that with Top Gun. So.
Did you really?
Yeah, a bunch of us. Yes. Troy was there. Yeah.
They sure recreated did. The exact picture almost from when they did the first movie to the second movie.
Well, then there you go. It's the exact same thing.
I never said I was smart enough to get a hashtag for it.
Yeah, right. I was definitely never complaining about it, but I have seen a lot of grown-ass men going to see Top Gun with their aviator sunglasses on, trying to look cool as hell. It's very hard to do in those, by the way. But they're doing it, and they have no problem with that, so who cares what these kids are doing? But some people, of course, are like outraged at it, and you know it's distracting. And I will give this one credence. And I can't speak to every other countries across the world, but in the States, it probably can be a little unnerving just because of, you know, events, recent events. With shootings and stuff that happen here, seeing a group of young people doing something like that could maybe make some people concerned. And I could understand that, to be perfectly honest. I could. On the same token, it's not fair that the kids can't, you know, go to the movies however they want to go, wear whatever you want to wear, as long as it's within the whatever the guidelines are. I think it's great. Plus, it drives people back to the theater. Maybe some people drives them out of the theater, but a lot of other people drives them to the theater. I don't see how this is a bad thing.
I think the number one thing to take away from this is that 61 million people on TikTok. And so if you're doing anything political for the midterms in November, I mean, how are you not tapping into this?
How did you go from Minions to something? Is this like a political ad?
I'm just saying.
Are you running for Congress or something? I didn't know.
If the political candidates aren't on TikTok now because of this, you will see them be on TikTok in the next 2 months.
I mean, they're already wearing suits. They should all just get together and go see Minions and use the hashtag.
Oh, there you go. That's a good idea.
The sad part is that the Minions are smarter than most of those people.
That's fair.
Like, my only problem with this whole thing was the smaller groups that ended up bringing bananas to the movie theater to throw bananas at the screen or something like that.
Okay, those are assholes. That's
not, yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
You can bring the bananas, just don't toss them or leave them behind.
Well, actually, you can't. You're not supposed to. But John, continue your thought.
No, I'm done.
Okay. Yeah, anybody that's disrupting a movie, I don't care what the reasoning is. Get them out. You're out. You're on your phone. You're throwing banana peels. You're talking during the movie. And I don't mean like having fun and the whole audience is into it. I mean that that really rude person that's talking. You know how people...
That's foreshadowing people.
Having real conversations. Why? You want me to tell you about my bus story? I was on a bus and somebody was talking on their phone, on their speakerphone, and a bus full of people, loud. I'm like, seriously? Nobody wants to hear your whole conversation, but they wanted us to hear it.
You remember those Nextel phones?
Yeah.
I freaking hated those Nextel phones. And then they never talk to them on the, like, as if they're using the phone. It's always like the speaker thing and then like yelling at each other over the freaking Nextel radio feature. Dumbest thing ever. I'm so glad they're gone.
Well, technically not, because Apple Watch has the walkie-talkie feature that does the exact same thing now.
Smart.
And this is why I tell you Apple sucks.
Ruh-roh. Well, let's move on from there. But I will say, if any of you young folk, is that the word? Youngins? Young people? Hip?
Utes?
Utes. Any of you utes want to use a hashtag gentle hose, we're totally fine with it. And if you want to strut around in a suit, listen to our podcast, all for it. Go for it. Knock it out.
Do you think anyone that young actually listens to this podcast?
You shut your whore mouth. Yes, they do.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I think the entire audience is 16 to 34.
That would be a lie.
No truths were detected. All right. So summer box office. Let's talk about movie theaters since we're already talking about them again and just kind of how much they're blowing up. Remember, God, for most of the last 2 years, you know what I've had to deal with are people telling me that movie theaters are dead. Freaking dead. Summer box office is never coming back. People, it's never going to be that way again. Everybody wants to stream, which, hey, if you love it, you love it. And all I've been trying to say is, no, they're not. It's not going to be like that because they still need theaters to make money on blockbusters. And they do. It's been proven over and over again. They just don't make as much money streaming as they do in a theater. And now we've got summer box office, Top Gun Maverick. Nobody in the world thought this movie was going to make $600 million domestic and over $1 billion worldwide. Tom Cruise himself had no idea. I don't care. I'm sure he'll say it now that this, you know, Xenu told him that it was going to make $1 billion. Nobody knew that this movie was going to be this popular. Huge. Doctor Strange, The Multiverse of Madness. I think everybody kind of thought that would be a huge hit. But 400 plus million US and, you know, almost $1 billion worldwide. It's great. Jurassic World Dominion, over 350 million already. Minions is already, you know, it's going to probably be at 230, 250 by the time you hear this. So, I mean, it's huge. Thor, Love and Thunder had a $143 million opening weekend. You know, Lightyear kind of bombed. But there's a lot of people going back to the movie theaters. Everything Everywhere All at Once, and I know that was a little earlier before summer, but that's made almost $70 million now. And that movie should never have been mainstream. It shocks me that it went mainstream, but people wanted to see it in a theater. Elvis is a huge hit. Black Phone is a huge hit. Like, people are going back to the theaters is what I'm saying. And I want to know, I mean, we've talked about it ad nauseum, but are either of you surprised? Because I sure the hell am not.
Not surprised. I think, one, there comes a point at the end of the COVID era, which is, you know, another variant is on the rise again. But I think people are just at the point where I got to get out and do something. I'm just itching.
We've been there. Yeah.
You know? So, and I think a lot of people decided when the theaters opened up that wanted to take the risk, have their A-list subscriptions like me. And you're just, I'm paying $23 a month. I'm going to go see something and make sure I get my use out of my $23 a month. Two movies, boom, done. Right. Even though I get 12, all I have to do is see two. And I think that there's a lot of movies that have been waiting to be released, like Top Gun, which was like, 18 months delayed from its original launch date. So these are just movies that have been anticipated for quite some time that had to be pushed back because of COVID. So I think you're getting a storm of effects of wanting to get outside, delayed movies, things people have been pent up waiting to see. It'll be interesting once it gets back onto the regular release schedule if we have the same momentum come next summer.
I'm actually surprised by some of this. Not that I'm surprised that the theaters are coming back, but more so surprised that it seems like they're coming back harder than they were before the pandemic. I was talking to a friend of mine this last weekend over the phone, and he was trying to get in to go see Thor: Love and Thunder. And before the pandemic, a theater being sold out was not something that usually happened on a regular basis. But here we are. It's opening weekend. He's on a Saturday morning gone to three different movie theaters to try to get tickets to go see it. And by the time he gets there, they're sold out. And I thought that was incredible. The fact that, like, you know, in this post-pandemic or sort of post-pandemic world, we have things that are so pre-post, you know, whatever you want to call it. You know, we have things that are being so people are so happy to go to the theater that they're going out in drones. And that's actually something that I think is great.
In drones or droves?
Same difference. You know what I meant.
I gotcha. It reminds me of
drone of droves.
It reminds me of the listener. I won't name him, but who it was last year when I kept saying, you know, go out to the movie theaters if you're comfortable, da 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 da. And I was advocating, I'm still going to go back to the theater. And I think you guys, movie theaters aren't going to die and everything else. And he like left our Facebook group, left us a scathing review on iTunes, made sure, you know, he's one of those people who has to announce that they're leaving a group. I'm letting you know I'm leaving this group. You know, yeah, it's not an airport terminal. You don't have to announce your departure. Just go. One of those. And just because we were advocating to go to a movie theater, if you were comfortable.
No, no. We were advocating for people to get murdered. Or something like that is what was actually was said.
Yes. Just, it was insane. Insane. But I'm glad to see this because I was hopeful for this. And I mean, it felt like every news outlet was already writing death stories. They were already writing obituaries for the movie business for the last 2 years. I mean, it's almost like they were trying to will it into existence or something. So
look at the 2 years though. I mean, you got the whole Warner Brothers deal where they were going to do same day streaming. You had the reduction in the windows, you know, from 90 days to 45 days mm-hmm. for Universal and a few others. So, I mean, there was a lot that they were trying to predict on. And some of those things would obviously impact, you know, the theater experience. And so now that we're seeing what we're seeing now, the question is what we're seeing now just pent up demand and the demand will course correct? Or are the movie theaters actually back?
I think they're back. It's been consistent since, I mean, the winter of last year. Spider-Man No Way Home really kicked it all into overdrive. I think that really got people, maybe Spider-Man saved movie theaters, which makes sense because he's the best superhero there is. But I think he got people going back to theaters, got them a little bit more comfortable. Then, of course, you know, COVID has, the numbers are still there, and there are people that obviously have complications and whatnot. But overall, most people, the majority of people aren't getting hospitalized with COVID. So it's being treated more of not that it's a flu, but like a flu. You know, in terms of the treatment and your course, you know, it's something you just sit at home and you'll get better in a few days, typically, especially if you've been vaccinated, et cetera, et cetera. So I think that people just feel more comfortable about it. I mean, don't you think? Yes, we probably as a society have almost acted like COVID is over. I don't think that's the right answer either. But in the same token, people want to get back to life. And this is a big part of life. It has been for a century. Just glad to see that people are going back to movie theaters. My God, the fact that we have a blockbuster that's not a comic book movie blows my mind.
And isn't it a comic book here movie though? I mean, they're like
Top Gun. No,
they're like serious pilots with serious abilities to handle those G's. That, I mean, come on,
these are real things that people can do. So they're not superheroes. I mean, they're heroes for sure. They're not superheroes. They're not comic books. So no, Top Gun Maverick is about some badass pilots.
He paced at that target using the force. It's a superhero movie.
And the only bad thing that came out of Top Gun Maverick, it's a great movie and everything else, but now it's going to get people talking about Miles Teller for all kinds of stuff he's not qualified for. I saw his grandma was pimping him for James Bond.
Yeah, no.
Well, okay, I'm of two minds. One, hell no, he shouldn't be James Bond. But two, props to your grandma. Like, that's some real family support. Going out there and hitting Twitter, knowing it's going to get picked up, that's badass, man. I respect that. All right, remember, you can always find more information at thehollywoodoutsider.com. Join our Facebook group or on Twitter at BuyPopcorn. And if you want to support the show, we're independently funded. Therefore, all the expenses are from our own pockets. And Patreon helps fans support their favorite podcast. Just go to patreon.com/thehollywoodoutsider. There's tons of hours of bonus content. That's patreon.com/thehollywoodoutsider. And again, you can vote for us for the podcast awards. Finalists are decided by listeners. There is a whole thing in the feed. Just listen to that and it'll give you all the details. Or you can go to our website, thehollywoodoutsider.com, and the information is there to help voters. But now let's go to a spoiler-free review of Thor, Love, and Thunder. Troy, will you help me with this?
I can sure help you with this, Aaron, because we're back in the characters that we know and love. No more Shang-Chi, no more Black Widow, no more of this stuff. We are going back to where it all began.
Do you not know Black Widow?
Well, I know Black Widow, but she died. So,
oh, it's like, okay, all right, gotcha.
But we're moving back to some people that we love or hates. And some people in this movie actually were in the last one that we really, really hated. The real question of all of this is, how much of the Guardians do we see, Aaron? Because that's all anybody cared about from the end of the last time we saw them.
It feels like that's really all Troy cares about. Yeah, the Guardians are in it for about 5 minutes. You're welcome.
Man, I'm hurt now. I wanted to see Thor go with Star-Lord on adventures and
they
stuff.
They do. You get that, but it's like 5-10 minutes tops. Tops.
Okay, so where do we leave off with Thor? What kind of status is he at this point? Is he still kind of a little bit of a beer belly, got to work it out kind of thing, or is he actually ship shape when we start off the movie?
Well, this is something I actually thought was very inventive and creative and clever. Okay, so you basically have Korg telling a bedtime story to a bunch of kids as Guardians. I don't want to spoil anything, but he's explaining who Thor is and basically catching you up on his adventures from all the movies you've seen, right? And he's catching you up to now. And it's also explaining his adventures with the Guardians of the Galaxy and also how he got back into shape and he became the Thor you know and love, except I think he's a little bigger. I think his arms are a little bigger. I think everything's a little bigger. I didn't quite check, but some ladies in the movies checked and they seem to think so. And this adventure, he comes to find out that Gore the God Killer, who's played by Christian Bale, is going for all the gods. He's coming to kill all the gods. And one of his goals is to get to something called the Eternity, where he can possibly make a wish that could end life as we know it. So it becomes this huge multidimensional battle where he's going to need help from Valkyrie and possibly Zeus. There's all kinds of people he needs help from, but also especially Jane Foster. Jane Foster returns, Natalie Portman returns as Jane Foster, the love of his life that caused some issues in the past for his heart.
Are you excited for her to be back? Because I know there was a little bit of a scruffle between Natalie Portman and the studio, and then she was left out of the third movie because they were going to space. So do you know anything behind like how Natalie came back into the fold and how was it seeing her in this character of female Thor?
Yeah, she also didn't want weak material. I mean, she's an Oscar-winning actress. She's very talented. She doesn't want to just be the girlfriend, the Girl Friday. And they sold her on the pitch, which is you get to be Thor. Now, what happens to get her there is Jane Foster she's riddled with cancer. And Mjolnir basically speaks to her. I can never say that name right. So if I said it wrong, it is whatever.
Meow, meow.
Thank you. Meow, meow. And that's right. I said meow, meow. It's close enough. I figured that's how Taika Waititi would probably say it.
That's how, what's her face? Jane Foster's little assistant that I can't remember her name right now. That's Darby?
Yes. Yep, Darby.
That's how Darby used to say it. It's meow, meow.
I'm going with that. Well, it speaks to her. And because of that, she becomes Thor, the mighty Thor. She basically yields meow, meow. And, you know, he still has Stormblade. So that is the difference there.
I mean, we know that story from the comic. Do we see that story?
Stormbreaker, Stormblade. Wow, what the hell, man. Yeah, some comic boy. You should have caught that, John. You should have been
I did. I was. I had myself muted, though. So,
well, that's not very helpful to the podcast, is it?
No, it isn't.
Son of a bitch.
Now, do we see that actually take place in this movie to get the backstory? Or do people have to know that it's from Mighty Thor 2015, number 705.
No, they explain it. It's very clear. Good. So she basically can't, she's Thor, but she also, the cancer isn't going away. At the point that she gets there, she's tried every medical cure she can think of, and she thinks maybe Meow Meow will be able to help cure her. And then it's the movie, part of the movie is can it or will it, and what'll happen with that. And the other part is trying to take down Gore before he kills all the gods, including Zeus, which you've seen in the trailer. You've seen Russell Crowe as Zeus.
Tessa Thompson is back as well, taking a break from her Westworld stint.
Yeah.
How was her character this time around?
She's fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. She's my favorite part of the movie that's not Christian Bale or Chris Hemsworth, honestly. I mean, every time she shows up, she's chewing scenery left and right. She really knows how to play the part and how to play it up.
Special effects, visual effects, are they over the top for a superhero movie, or you feel like it was believable enough, or was it more on the cheesy kind of Ragnarok side?
How do I phrase this? If Sexual Curiosity was a movie, I think it would be Thor Love and Thunder. or as close as PG-13 can get you to it. It's just, it's a plethora of colors and ideas, and the effects reflect all of that. It's just a rainbow of flavor. Visually, absolutely stunning. They really get bold with ideas, and they just go for it. This is including the story elements as well as the visual effects.
How's it feeling for the runtime?
Getting to the problem with that I have with the movie. Well, I have a couple problems. One, Russell Crowe is Zeus. His accent is really annoying. It's like part Count Chocula and part Mario. It's very weird. But the story is like all over the place. The tone, we're talking about tone in this podcast. The tone of the story is all over the place. 1 minute it's serious. Gore is very serious. And I think there are some of his scenes where Christian Bale, I think, could have amounted to one of the best villains in the MCU, in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. He's that good potentially, but the movie doesn't do him any justice, I don't think. And then the next minute, it's a wacky comedy. Then you get Thor the boob. Then you get Thor the hero. Then you get Thor the boob again. Then you get, it's trying to be romantic. And then it's got all these different varying tones, and it doesn't really nail any of them, and it doesn't feel consistent. So it's like, if you remember Gods of Egypt, it's like that, but with jokes and Thor's ass.
Sold.
Do you feel it has that same ebb and flow like Eternals had, where Eternals could have been a good movie if pieced together the right way?
No.
What?
No.
You wash your mouth out with soap.
Eternals sucked, by the way.
That movie can never be good.
Eternals?
That's what I just said.
Okay, I'm with you. It's very much like Ragnarok, but less coherent, I think. It's kind of all... I will say there's a bit about screaming space goats that I thought would get old super fast, and I found it absolutely hilarious. But unfortunately, for every one of those screaming space goat jokes, they've got five more that don't work. There's a lot of forced jokes in this movie.
All right, well, if $10 is full price admission, what are we giving Thor, Love, and Thunder?
I give it $4.50. I did not enjoy it. I was waiting for it to end. And can somebody call Uncle Buck and get a hold of Christian Bale? Because that eye mole of his needs to go. It's really... distracting in close-ups. Is that too much?
That's a bit much.
Sorry. No, I wish I would have liked this movie more. I really, really, really.
So Doctor Strange was better, is what you're saying?
Yeah, by a mile. By a mile. I was never bored.
Doctor Strange wasn't that great.
I disagree with you.
I thoroughly enjoyed Doctor Strange. I saw it this weekend.
Yeah.
I watched it 2 weeks ago, and it was. I took a nap halfway through it.
Cool, man. 2-1. So you're outnumbered. We like Doctor Strange. You didn't. Why don't you go watch this one, and then you'll probably love it, right? Because it's so great. It'd be magical. You should be a contrarian.
It might be. It might be. Oh, don't talk to me about being contrarian. You got Troy sitting right next to you.
I mean, when he's right, he's right. So any recent film or TV recommendations? When the man has a point, man has a point. Anything you guys have seen recently you want to mention that you haven't talked about previously?
Over on Hulu, checked out Maggie. It was cute, engaging. Rebecca Rittenhouse stars as a psychic trying to figure out her own love life. It also stars Nicole Sakura from Superstore as her best friend, the always charming Chris Elliott from Schitt's Creek as her father. I didn't think it would be as enjoyable in a more light and fluffy rom-com, but by the end, you're actually invested in the characters, and they left it on a cliffhanger for a potential season 2. This came out right after the 4th of July weekend.
Really?
So check it out.
All right. John?
I finally sat down and finished the rest of The Shining Girls, which is on Apple Plus, stars Elizabeth Moss and Jamie Bell. And that show is a piece of work.
It's art, right?
It's art. It's really good. The story is actually something very different, though the themes of the story is something you've probably seen before. The way they finish it, finish up the whole story, I would be surprised if they went so far as having a season 2 with this, because it very much can be a one and done and still be a masterful piece of television. It was just really well done. I really enjoyed it. It was good.
Okay. I want to mention Westworld's back. So Troy and I are doing Beyond Westworld podcast again. And this season's fantastic. Really good so far. I don't want to say we'll wait and see how it ends, but I'm really, really enjoying the show. It feels like a return to form. And also, Alone on Netflix. I'm watching the newest season because it just dropped on Netflix. Oh my God. I love that show. I'm so ashamed, but I love it. It's It's basically you drive, take, it's a reality show. And I hate reality shows. I hate them. I hate them. I hate them. But this is a real. This is a really real reality show where they take a bunch of people and they drop them in the woods. And all they have are the cameras that they use to film themselves as they try to survive in the wild for months. And I'm an avid backpacker. And I'm telling you, you have no idea how hard it is to just be alone in the wilderness for a long period of time. It takes mental strength most of us do not have, myself included. I couldn't do it for as long as they do it. I can do it for a week, maybe two. But my God, some of these people are out here for months. And I mean, some of them arrive crazy, some of them become crazy. I mean, it's something, but it's worth watching. Riveting TV.
I mean, we're a little more practiced. We've been alone in our houses for 2 years, so.
Yeah, but that's with people. A lot of people, well, Sarah, I'm sure there's a lot of people that are probably trapped alone, too.
There's a lot of single people that
that's true.
Came up with like mental health issues from COVID.
Maybe you'll have a shot at this then. Just go get some survival skills. And every once in a while, you'll see somebody who, and I think, I don't know if you've watched this, Troy, but I think John's watched this show before.
I watched a couple episodes when you talk about it all the time.
Yeah. You take Firestarter with you, but some people always want to get creative and don't take it because they want to take, you only get so many items you can bring. It's always great watching those people because it's like, how long is it going to be before you realize what a dumb move that was? It's like you've never watched this show before. It's very difficult. Okay, let's go to our From the Outside In topic. Thor brought up an interesting idea. Tone. When movies or TV change the tone. So let's talk about movies and TV shows that actually change the tone. Because Thor is now basically a comedy or a rom-com or something. And Fantasy Island has become a horror movie. There are a lot of properties who have reinvented themselves in different ways. And I'm kind of curious, you know, what people think about that. So what do you think about a sequel changing the tone of its predecessor or a series changing the tone of whatever it's rebooting, or maybe a TV show that changes the tone during its own run? What do you guys think about that?
What I think about is, you know, I'm watching a show or a movie because of the original tone, but when that tone shift comes, it's either something that's, you know, executed beautifully and it makes me love something even more because it makes me laugh at something that I didn't laugh at before, or it makes me fearful for something that I wasn't afraid for before. When it comes, it's actually something that I relish in a lot of different ways just because of what it can do. It's interesting when somebody does that because in some ways they're admitting the fact that, you know, they might have been taking the show in the wrong direction, or they've been taking something the wrong way. It's like a last ditch effort to really connect with the fan base.
Tone shift, I think, works depending on the planned out arcs that you have. So I'm thinking like Star Wars, right? You have Space Cowboys in episode 4, then you get a huge tonal shift in Empire Strikes Back, especially because you even start out on a planet rather than in space. And then, you know, moving into Return of the Jedi, which becomes like almost like a dark horror in a way. But you have that mapped out because you knew what the three stories were. So it kind of works there versus like when you talk about TV. And this is probably the only one negative thing I'll ever say about this show. So you better write down this timestamp.
Oh, I'm going.
So I Lost. Can delete it? Lost is one where the first three seasons were very cohesive in the development of a character story and following these characters and understanding them and bonding with them and their struggles. And then season 4 literally becomes a physics show. Season 5 becomes a sci-fi show, and season 6 becomes a religious show. And I think those last three seasons, you know, that's where people got really frustrated and confused with the show because it moved away from the characters, even though it came back to that in the finale. But that middle part just kind of, you know, turned some people off from what the original show was.
So we are just going to ignore the entire fact that that show also introduced a bunch of mysteries it didn't feel like solving?
It solved everything that needed to be solved.
Oh, everything. Yeah, okay. Sure. Yeah.
It was never about the mysteries.
Oh, of course. The island that they were on, that they had to introduce new stuff every week about, that really didn't matter. What mattered were the people that were on the island.
We've had this debate before.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, and you're still wrong. So I am fine with tone changes if they make sense. I know a lot of people feel like Thor was basically saved by the change in tone because it went to Ragnarok. Yeah, I disagree. I do not like dim bulb Thor. I think Hemsworth nails the character. It's tricky because I think he nails the character he's going for. I just don't think it works for me personally. I want my Thor to be Thorish, not boobish. And although I will say in the new movie, it's a lot less than it was in Ragnarok. In Ragnarok, I thought he was a complete idiot, like just not a smart man. But then you go to movies that really changed the tone that I think worked very well, which, you know, the best one I can think of is the Evil Dead series, because you have three movies that are three completely different tones. And I love all three of them. And it makes no sense, because how many other horror movies have sequels? If they change the tone, like Jason X, hey, I can watch it and I can laugh at it, but it's dumb. Jason in Space just doesn't make any goddamn sense. But Evil Dead basically made the first movie. It's a straight up horror movie. There is no comedy. Some people might argue that there's some comedy. Andreas, I'm talking to you. You're wrong. It's not funny. It's a straight up horror movie. Evil Dead 2 is basically a remake of the first one, just with a bigger budget, made better. And they threw in slapstick comedy and let Bruce Campbell be basically a comedian, be Charlie Chaplin for, you know, an hour and a half. And then the third movie is Army of Darkness. And that is a straight up comedy that I don't even know if it's even trying to do anything horrific, really. It's just it's just cheesy and funny and over the top and almost Monty Python-esque. Those are three completely different movies, and all three of them work, but the tones are completely different. It doesn't happen very often, but when it happens, when you've got a real filmmaker like Sam Raimi, who made Doctor Strange, which is why that's a better movie, you know, it really can work. So I like it. I like to take some chances. And then you have probably like some things are rebooted and remade, you know, because when we're talking about projects that get rebooted with a different kind of style, there are some that I think were rebooted because they wouldn't work as well today. And I'm thinking of like Starsky and Hutch, which was rebooted as a comedy, Baywatch, which I freaking thought it was hilarious as a comedy, Dukes of Hazzard. You know, these are things that probably wouldn't work the way that they were if they were rebooted that way. So they made them comedies, and I found all three of those pretty funny. You know, your mileage may vary.
21 Jump Street also goes into that pile.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's, yeah, complete reinvention. Mm-hmm. I mean, they basically made the cops complete idiots.
It went from like an after school special to being complete idiots.
Yeah, and riveting. I actually like both. I still am kind of mad that we never got that 21 Jump Street Men in Black crossover they were going to do.
Oh, God, that would have been amazing.
Would have been fantastic. And TV, Troy, you were talking about Troy. Or, I'm sorry, Troy, you were talking about Lost. You weren't talking about yourself. That would be weird.
Same difference.
He's not wrong.
The X-Files was a show that I thought was like a masterstroke in terms of varying tones for the show, because they really got comfortable, especially after that first season, with switching the tones up completely. You know, you had science fiction, then you had horror, you had comedy at times. I mean, they really were swinging for the fences and taking chances. And so episodes would feel fresh. They would feel different, and they were unique every time. You didn't know what you were getting every week. And that's very rare. And you could tell, because after season 5 or 6, it became very hard for them to switch it up like that anymore, because it's very, very hard to maintain a consistent level of quality if you keep changing the tone that frequently. But they did it for a long time.
I feel like Fringe did that in a way also. You know, the very first season or two seasons of Fringe, it was very much a monster of the week or, you know, a what if kind of situation each time. And then the subsequent seasons after that, they started with the overarching anthology. Well, not anthology, that's the wrong word, but
the end game.
Yeah,
serialized.
Became much more serialized. But the interesting part of that is that the way they incorporated the first two seasons into that serialization, how things from those first two seasons kept on popping up, even though, like, the, you know, again, like the first two seasons were very much monster of the week. And then after that, when it becomes very serialized, it's like you can't miss the first seasons and then just jump into the serialized part. You have to watch it as a whole, and it's just beautifully done that way.
Especially season 4, which is almost a retread of season 1 in a lot of the ways.
Yep.
Because they bring back some of the same bad guys.
Yep.
Oh, and Buffy had Hush, the silent episode, which was a huge swing. The musical episodes.
I was going to say musical episode.
That was a huge swing. And
the puppet episode of Angel.
The puppet episode of Angel. That was great. Yep.
You're a weed in a puppet man.
Angel did Ted Lasso going from a sports, you know, win the cup hero movie in the first season to a mental awareness season in the second season.
I thought you were going to say it's all about Roy Kent.
I mean, it is, but.
Yeah, it did. And, you know,
the tone changed from Ted Lasso to Roy Kent in season two.
Jeez. I'm really, you know, when it comes to shows, it's very rare that you see a show pull off a change in tone and be able to keep it going and be consistent with it. Or even just to do it for a one-off. It's very hard to do, you know, but some shows pull it off. Some shows do. A lot of shows never even try. Never try. Any filmmakers doing this, like changing what they're known for in terms of tone? I mean, you can think of it in the terms of like Steven Spielberg. He was known for those very beautiful, loving, thoughtful science fiction films. And then he just completely switched it up and went to Schindler's List and Saving Private Ryan and Munich. I mean, and he's really turned into a much more adult-oriented filmmaker who doesn't really make as many of those films of wonder anymore. Filmmakers like that.
Well, the one that came to mind the most was Kevin Smith. You know, he's very, very much one type of filmmaker all the way up until Red State. And with Red State, which almost seems like a fluke, he creates a very interesting, intense thriller that that pulls off everything perfectly as far as the kind of movie he was making there. And there's actually at the very end, there's a bit of a tonal shift in the movie at the very end where you have this very scary, like torture porn kind of movie that switches up into like a comedy for the last 10 minutes of it. Mm-hmm. Likewise, Tusk is another one of these movies where you have this body horror movie for the first half of the movie. And then, you know, at the second half of the movie, it's kind of like this goofy whodunit. And I will say this, and no one will believe me, but I think both are done very well and make Tusk a very interesting movie.
I will give you Red State, and I'll give you the first half of Tusk.
Well, fine, be that way.
Yep. Red State. Actually, when you're speaking of Kevin Smith, it's really sad because I think after Red State and Tusk, I did like Tusk, don't get me wrong. And it's a really cool idea. Basically, he took a podcast idea and made a movie out of it. That's pretty fantastic. And then, obviously, the weed got to him and he just... And he's even agreed that runs in line. But Red State was really a movie where you saw a possibility of a filmmaker that could do something great. Because I thought that really was a great movie. And a great concept and execution and everything else. And then it just never... It does feel like a fluke at this point, which is sad because I used to be in Kevin Smith's corner as a director nonstop and just nonstop. And he let me down too many times. And it's just, you know, I'm still in his corner. Like I saw the trailer for Clerks 3 and I'm still hoping maybe he'll get a little of that mojo back. Fingers crossed.
I mean, he said it himself, a movie like Red State, he can never make again because he's never been that angry ever since.
Mm. Whatever it takes, I guess. I would like for somebody to make him very angry so he could make another one. Because,
right.
You know, well, I think he could do it.
I mean, I was thinking Guillermo del Toro. Because when you look at his early work, he's really much a dark horror hero, you know, between Blade and Hellboy and Hellboy 2, Pan's Labyrinth even a little bit. But then he kind of switches tones and he comes more into the Crimson Peak, Shape of Water, which is more of a romantic look. Right. You got Nightmare Alley, which is more psycho thriller. So just looking at the people that collaborate with him on those films, like the people that were with his early career, with the exception of Ron Perlman, don't show up in the later career. Right. He gets a whole new cast of characters. Like he's reused, obviously, Cate Blanchett, Tim Beck-Nelson, Richard Jenkins. But the fact that, you know, Ron Perlman is just a stalwart no matter what. You know, Ron Perlman's awesome. So he can be in anything. But yeah, when you look at that actor shift, I mean, you can definitely see that there's a tone shift in his movies from his early days to his current stuff.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think Nightmare Alley is a great example because that is the first, I believe it's the first movie he's ever done that had no supernatural undertones or overtones. So it's a straight, you know, noir crime drama, really. And very, very well done. Actually, I think it's a great movie. But it makes me think of, like, Tarantino is one that I love, Tarantino, and I'll talk about him all the time. And many people think his tone hasn't changed at all, and I would completely disagree with that because he's taken on weightier topics. He's increased his level of skill as a filmmaker. He's evolved in terms of the kinds of shots he takes, which changes the tones of his films, which has expanded his base. And, you know, he's evolved as a filmmaker. So I think that's one. And one that really caught my eye recently, I was just at a hotel because of a work event. So I was traveling. And Breaking Bad had a marathon on, right? So I'm watching Breaking Bad.
Was it on TBS?
No, it was AMC. I mean, they're getting ready for Better Call Saul to come back. But it made me think of Vince Gilligan, who, you know, he very, very talented on The X-Files. He was a story consultant, but he also wrote some episodes and executive producer and whatnot. And then he started Breaking Bad and then took the least likely character to spin off for Better Call Saul. But it's kind of completely different in terms of the show. Like, the show is not really similar in any vein, except that there's some suspense. And I think that's very, very hard to do. You took a show based off a show and made it completely separate and its own thing. To me, that's extremely impressive how you changed those tones, like how you took a character we know and you made something different from the world we know. That's hard to do. That's hard to do. So what would you like to see reinvented with a different tone? Maybe a sequel, a reboot, whatever it is. How would you like to see that tone changed? And I would like to see a new Dukes of Hazzard, by the way, just so we're talking about it. Just you'd probably have to get rid of the top of the car.
Just find a way to put like the...
It's a convertible.
Yeah. So I came up with two ideas that I thought would be hysterical. My Two Dads, but make it a horror movie.
How would you make that a horror movie? Like, she doesn't know who her dad is and she's going to kill everybody until she finds out.
Yeah, that sounds like, that sounds perfect. Like, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
The dad's a predator and a stalker and a creeper.
Right. And then Webster, but you make that a horror movie. So Webster is this creature that lives in the walls of this house and it keeps on jumping out and killing people.
What? Oh, weird. I would
so watch that. That's awesome.
and really he's just wants someone to be his friend and adopt him.
Right.
Is Emmanuel Lewis still available?
Maybe. I don't know. I didn't check. Did I have to check?
No. I just don't want to interfere with a shift at Home Depot.
Okay. Yeah, you make Webster some sort of monster creature that has no idea that it's a monster creature that lives in the walls of a house. And anytime somebody comes in the house, he comes out to like introduce himself or play with them and accidentally kills them on purpose.
Okay. All right. Anything else? Or is that what you got so far?
That's what I got. That's what I don't know. I thought let's make some horror movies today.
Okay. Troy, what do you got? Anything?
Well, I know Lifetime's looking for stuff, maybe the Hallmark Channel. So I came up with Sleepless in Seattle, but it's more of a stalker flick where the woman is stalking the guy who just wants to move on with his life. Like it's an old high school flame or something that wanted to date him in high school. Now that his wife died, like she's all mine. I'm going to totally get him now kind of thing.
Wow. I like that.
But Sleepless in Seattle.
Sure.
Well, you could honestly really make that turn with a lot of romantic comedy. Take Say Anything, right? Where he's standing outside with the boombox and he won't go away. That's stalker behavior.
Yeah.
You could make that a total horror movie. So yeah, I could see Sleepless in Seattle. Sure.
there's a great theory in one of the episodes of How I Met Your Mother where they talk about Dobler or Dahmer. It's not the person that is who's holding the boombox up over something. It's the person who's receiving. They're the ones who make the decision as to whether or not it's a Dobler or Dahmer situation. And yeah, that's what okay. I'm going to go away now.
No, that's 100% true. I think perception plays a lot into how people view that stuff. 100%. Yeah. Because if you, we were talking about this the other day, if you were, talking about ketchup, right? And if the ketchup is red.
Talking about ketchup. Right?
But okay. To a colorblind person, the ketchup's not red, but it's still ketchup.
Uh-huh.
So really it matters on the receiving end, like their perspective on how they're receiving the info, even though you could be coming with 100% perfect intent. You know, if they have the wrong upbringing, you could be received as all kinds of weird shit.
Well, when it comes to, and I'm talking just entertainment, okay, I'm not talking real life because I know people know when they're being stalked in real life. But when it comes to entertainment, movies and television, the rule seems to be if they're completely unattractive, it's creepy and wrong. But as long as they look like the dude from You or or a Hemsworth or something, totally okay, kind of sexy. So, I mean, it's a weird dynamic that exists in film. So you could really make just about every romantic comedy a horror movie, especially if you took all the leads and just made them ugly people.
Yeah, you just like take you know, gave somebody a five head, put them in a white t-shirt and have it all stained and overalls and barefooted, or at least one barefoot, one shoe and a foot, and then like blood on their hands, completely different movie.
Well, okay. So blood on their hands might be a little on the nose. It's kind of
hard. He was getting fish off of his houseboat.
Even if it's a Hemsworth, it's kind of hard to argue that one. Like, oh yeah, well, you know, he's got blood on his hands, but man, look at that ass. Look at those abs. Which reminds me, you do get to see Hemsworth naked in the new Thor, in case you're wondering. I forgot to mention.
Waist up.
Full frontal?
No. Full backle.
Full backle?
Full backle. Yeah. He's got a pretty toned, well, I would say just ass, but everything is really toned.
Now you listeners have to go out to Urban Dictionary and define what backle means.
So what about you? Anything else, Troy? Any other ones?
Hashtag gentle backle. Everybody shows up to the movie without anything on their backside.
Do it. Do it.
No, that's the only one I came up with.
Well, I'm glad you guys put so much thought into this. So I thought of, well, honestly, you could turn How I Met Your Mother into a true crime series if you think about it. Like investigating into who is this person's mother.
They did that. It's called Only Murders in the Building.
The Departed as a comedy, like a fish out of water caper comedy, like those body switching movies of the 80s. I think that could be interesting. Like they switch roles because they want to find out how the police force works and want to see how the mafia works and everything. And they just completely just make it more of a screwball comedy. I think you could do that.
Is he a cop? He's a cop. He's a cop. Is he a cop?
I would love to see a movie following one of the goons that's always hunting John Wick, you know, because he's paid to do it. I want to see a movie that changes that tone. So instead of a badass action flick where we're rooting for this guy to kill thousands of people, we're actually following the guy who's just doing his job. He's just trying, like, he was paid to stop this guy who keeps murdering all of his friends.
That would actually be like watching Jaws, if you ask me.
Do what?
Every time. It would be like watching Jaws because, like, this guy shows up as, like, the terror of John Wick is happening. And all he sees is, like, path of which John, you know, you walk down and, oh, John Wick's been here because, look, all these people have bullets in their heads. It would be like watching Jaws because you never see John Wick. You just see the aftermath of what he's done.
Yeah, that could work. And he's, like, hired to go in and he just wants to get this guy because this guy killed all his friends. I would like to see the other side of that one. I mean, that's more of a story change, but it also would be a tonal change because I would make it very much like a workplace kind of thing where he's just a guy working. He's just trying to do his job. I would definitely like Thor turn it into a Thor movie. I had a couple other ones. I had a couple favorite 80s shows. Simon and Simon and Riptide are two 80s shows that I just loved. One were brother PIs with Simon and Simon, and Riptide were about some PIs that worked off a boat. And I would want them both turned into comedies, kind of like we talked about before, Starsky and Hutch and that sort of thing. Two other 80s movies I loved were The Burbs and Clue. I absolutely adore both of those movies. And I want them both turned into straight up murder mysteries, like serious, serious murder mysteries. And I think they would both be fantastic. That because The Burbs, if you don't know what that's about, because a lot of people haven't seen that movie, Tom Hanks is basically a neighbor who starts to suspect that his neighbors are killing people and maybe sacrificing them in the house. Whether it's true or not, I'm not going to tell you. But it's very much a comedy, and it's freaking hilarious. It's very dark, but it's hilarious as a comedy. I would love to see that as a real grounded thriller, kind of like Arlington Road style.
Mm.
So that would be fun. And Clue is just it's a property that should have already been made into a serious murder mystery, and I have no idea why that hasn't happened yet.
It should have been made into a 10-part TV series.
Clue?
Didn't they make Clue a serious murder mystery and call it Knives Out?
I see what you did.
I suppose they made Only Murders in the Building, too.
Well, we've got some listener ideas, okay, and thoughts on what they think about tonal shifts. You want to hear them? Of course you do. Say it.
Yeah.
Say you do.
Always.
All right.
Always.
Always.
Kyle Nolan says, if it was a property I was a huge fan of, I'd be more nervous about a tonal shift. In the case of Thor, the first two films were some of the worst of the MCU. So when the third one became a comedy, it was a welcome change, made me enjoy the franchise a lot more. For Fantasy Island, I was never a regular watcher of the original, so I was open to the change and thought it was an interesting new take, though the execution didn't quite work. The shift of Doctor Strange to, John, this is for you, to horror also didn't really work for me.
Okay.
Like a spirit animal, but yeah. Totally worked for me. You know what? Here's something Jason West said. I know this will get me shunned, but I did not care for the first Captain America movie. I've only watched it once. The follow-up, one of my favorites, Night and Day. They are very different in tone.
Yes, they are.
Yeah,
they really are. But I don't want to be one of these people like Aaron and say these things about people. But he couldn't be any more wrong about the first Captain America.
Yeah, Captain America has the same tone as the first Iron Man. You have to set up the character and introduce him to the world and his time period. And, you know, it's not going to be bombastic out of the gate.
Can we just rewind that? It's not a bad place to be me. It's okay. Sometimes people... You know, there are facts out there. It's okay to point out when there's facts. And the facts are the first Captain America is an amazing movie.
It really is.
It's science.
You're absolutely right about that.
Yeah. Jennifer Miller said, if done well, it can breathe new life into a franchise and bring new people to the original iteration of that franchise. I agree. I think the first Thor was a good movie, though. Second one, But
I think that's exactly what the Lady Ghostbusters film did. They said, hey, let's go watch the original.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was
better. You know what's a really good tone shift as far as in a movie series?
Hmm.
Fast and the Furious.
Oh, yeah. When they hit Fast 5.
Yeah, when they hit Fast 5.
Goes from street racing to save the world.
Thank God those guys are there because our SEAL team couldn't do it.
Right.
We definitely need cars to do that. That's weird. Ty Nelson has an interesting... The one I want to bring up is the Orville. Season 1 had a lot of humor. And if you're wondering where we get these from, we post in our Facebook group and sometimes on the Twitter what our topic is of the week. The Orville, season 1 had a lot of humor, too much humor at times. They clearly wanted to be a comedy set in a sci-fi setting. Season 2, they balanced it a lot better. It was a sci-fi show with a good amount of humor. Now they moved to Hulu for season 3, and they've removed about 90% of the humor. This season has been fantastic, but feels off because the comedy was an important part of the show's brand. It's become Star Trek The Next Generation with just a few more jokes. So even though they're doing good work, the show has suffered in 2 of its 3 seasons because of the tonal shifts.
I've watched all of the Orville. I would say season 1, out of the gate, it was like you knew going in that they were trying to be a satire show. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's Seth MacFarlane, it's going to be, you know. But as you went along, all you felt the entire time watching it was, man, I really miss TNG. This feels like TNG. Like, why can't we just do TNG? Let's bring TNG back. And that's what they did in the second season. And by the third season, they're tackling some really important issues. Like what happens if, you know, they did a time travel episode, which spoke directly to the abortion issue at hand. Mm. They did an episode on, transgender in a culture that doesn't have any females. So they're really touching on some really important topics in a really creative way. And I think that even though people might not be looking for this show to do that, I think the Orville is probably one of the best shows on TV right now because they're tackling certain issues in a very creative way.
Well, that's kind of Seth MacFarlane's bag at the moment. Like, if you watch enough Family Guy, he does the same sort of thing there where he's not very afraid of pointing out the hypocrisy in a lot of things or just the things that we take for granted. I always thought that the Orville was something that did Star Trek better than Star Trek.
I agree.
It brought you the future. It did it in a way that did not feel as... sometimes there's a barrier of entry for Star Trek because it feels too high concept or high, you know, high on itself. Whereas the Orville is very much more accessible. It's very much more easy to place yourself in that situation with them because sometimes, yeah, they're clowns. I may be a genius 90% of the time, but it's going to look like I'm a clown 50% of the time at the very least. Maybe 95% of the time I'm going to look like a clown, you know?
And I think that's why Strange New Worlds is doing so well on Paramount. That's because so I think they've realized that they can't be so... Like they went from like Trek very science to Trek needs to be glitzed and glammed and popularized to back to the formula that makes Trek work, but also makes it relatable to people because Uhura is someone you can connect with. Spock's, you know, going through his changes to get rid of his emotions, and the captain is just downright awesome, hair included. I think they're trying to understand what was doing well with the Orville and bring that back into Star Trek.
So are you coming into the fandom of Anson Mount with us? Because I've been there for a while with Hell on Wheels.
I mean, Anson Mount's always been, but I always
said I'd be a Picard loyalist to the end, and I still am. But Anson Mount, man, he makes a great captain.
Dude, go watch Hell on Wheels. I know you might not love Westerns or whatnot, but he is so good in that show.
Just don't watch Inhumans, and definitely don't pay attention to the fact that he took himself out in the stupid Doctor Strange movie.
Anyway, Tammy Ray Sparrow. I never was a fan of the Buffy the Vampire Slayer movie, which was campy, but the TV show did it totally right. I also enjoy Riverdale. Not that I didn't like the Archie comics, but the new version is interesting. Tammy, I just want to speak to you directly here. I want to say something. I agree with you that the movie was very campy, except was freaking amazing, number one. Number two, Christy Swanson, still a better Buffy. Don't care, still true. Even if she's gotten a little wacky these days.
And when the Buffy episode ends and you see the people that make the Buffy, the Vampire TV show, and the little puppet goes across the screen, you can't have the at the end of the episode of every Buffy episode without the movie. So you're welcome.
That should be played at the Oscars every year. Let's see. Nate Bruce. Aquaman was a wimp before my twin, Jason Momoa, pulled off that great performance to make people care.
He's right.
It's more of a casting thing than a tonal shift, isn't it?
Yeah, it's more of a casting.
Or did he single-handedly change the tone by his presence?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's a lot to do with it. Like Aquaman was always a badass, but he was always just made fun of because of whatever reason. And now you have Jason Momoa in the role, and you're like, oh, wait, he's a badass. When those who have liked Aquaman since the very beginning are finally like, yes, see, Aquaman is cool. And yet, here we are.
And yet the deep exists.
He's really never been that cool. Momoa made him cool. That's what I'm saying. And lastly, Marvin Sewell. Of all the things M. Night Shyamalan did wrong when adapting Avatar, The Last Airbender, from anime series to live action. Hang on, Troy. I know you're ready to jump. Changing the tone from fun and lighthearted to serious and moody is by far the worst decision he could have made. This ruined the movie, destroyed the prospect of future film adaptations, and probably worse of all, pushed people away from watching the animated series. Troy, you agree with that?
I do. Here's the thing. I think what people want is the Star Wars or Lord of the Rings or Game of Thrones version of Avatar: The Last Airbender. I think that's what he was trying to go for, in the sense of like the visuals and the scenery, and you got the flying bison, right? And a lot of stuff was decent in that movie. The problem was that the characters were all Caucasian, which was totally wrong. Then you had the bending CGI. It was like, I'm going to do a bunch of Kung Fu, Taekwondo mixed dancing. And then the boulder goes across the screen in slow motion. It was bad. It was really, really, really bad. And even though the story was there from the entire first book of the cartoon, it just didn't work at all. And I took a whole bunch of people to go see this movie because the cartoon's so, so good. And they were like, we can't be friends with you anymore, Troy, for making us sit through this.
That's not why.
I said, I don't blame you. It was so, so bad. And unfortunately, I don't know if we'll ever get what we really want, which is just a badass Avatar movie. I'm sorry. It's a movie. So it's a badass Airbender movie.
But they're making a TV show and it's coming out on Netflix.
But they're making the TV show without the original creators because they didn't like the direction the TV show was going. So I'm suspect.
He's sus.
I just want him to go back to the cartoon and make Kyoshi. Make Avatar Kyoshi. There's already a book. You can just turn that into the TV format. I'm all there.
Isn't Kyoshi a little dragon from Mario Brothers?
That's Yoshi.
Yoshi. Ah.
Well, I don't know what I'm doing.
This is Yoshi after he helps you unlock the dungeon door. Kyoshi.
He's the key. Well, you can share your thoughts on this episode or anything else on our Facebook group, The Hollywood Outsider. It's a private group. Just look for it. We're on Twitter at BuyPopcorn, and our site is TheHollywoodOutsider.com. Rate and subscribe us on your favorite podcast app. You can find John's artwork on Insta or Twitter at RJohnDraws, Amanda on Veronica's Marshmallows and Smirk, but probably not on this podcast, and at Sink Into This, Troy at Troy Einritz, and The Blacklist Exposed, and also Beyond Westworld, both Troy and I are on those podcasts, and me, I'm presenting Hitchcock and at Aaron Smirks. Now, before we head out, I want to talk to you one more thing. Movie and TV matters. We've talked about spoilers before, but I want to discuss this again because it's freaking out of control. People just don't give a damn anymore. They just don't care. So spoilers are flying left and right. You literally have to stay off social media until you see something. I couldn't go on social media before Stranger Things, before I watched 4 hours of television, before I watched Thor, which I wasn't able to see until several days after it came out. I wasn't able to go on social media. And for right reason, you know, and you think, you know, maybe I just misjudged people. Maybe they didn't do it this time. And sure enough, it's not like you look for it. It's not like you're actually hunting for anything. It's not like I'm searching for articles on Thor or articles on Stranger Things. But because the way the algorithms are built, right, where anything you have looked at previously always pop up in your feed, no matter what, you're freaking spoiled. And I want to know, where have we changed how we sit with this? That's still our personal responsibility, or are people just complete assholes anymore?
I'm going to go with people are assholes.
All right. So that's, John doesn't have much more to, he's just like, nope, just calling it. That's
just
it.
Calling it. Well, you know, it's funny because I had been avoiding everything I could about Doctor Strange for the longest time, and I had done a very good job at avoiding it. Didn't listen to this show when you guys talked about it. I don't listen to the show anyways, but I didn't listen to the show, buddy, when you guys talked about it. You know, I avoided every single bit of, you know, social media that I have that was connected to it. I didn't want to know anything. And then I finally was on the phone with my buddy, the same buddy who was like looking for the Thor showing. And I was on the phone with him and he was like, oh, have you seen it? I was like, no, I haven't. He's like, okay, well, I'm not going to spoil it for you. And then he spoils it for me by telling me like the plot of the movie and the twist of everything and how it actually works out. Like, he told me everything. That might be why I didn't get a chance to enjoy it as much as I thought I could, but it happens. And not that he's an asshole. He's actually a great guy. But we, on a whole, feel like we have the right to run out and broadcast absolutely everything we can broadcast whenever we want to broadcast it. So, yeah, I mean, that's one of the reasons why I don't get on social media nearly as much anymore also.
I mean, at the same time, we do an entertainment podcast, so the feeds and the news and stuff that we subscribe to just happen to show up all the time. I mean, I got Apple News pops up notifications from mm-hmm. Hollywood Reporter mm-hmm. and Variety and Deadline like all freaking day up in the top right corner of my screen. And I can tell you that I knew absolutely nothing from the same movie, Doctor Strange, Multiverse of Madness. I knew that it was kind of horror-ish and people were like, it should have been rated R. But there are some surprises in there that I can say that I genuinely fist bumped off my couch when it happened. And I was like, this is so awesome. And it's been out for, I don't know what, 3 months, 4 months at this point. I didn't know anything about it.
Two and a half.
So I heard it both ways. The big thing is that it's your responsibility. Go into your stuff. You mute the stuff you need to mute. You turn off the things you need to turn off. You can still be on social media.
But you can't. That's what I'm saying. You cannot. I have literally done everything.
Because I just proved, dude, for 2.5 months that I knew nothing about Doctor Strange.
Look, I do a very, very good job of avoiding spoilers. And I don't really get mad about it. I'm just like, well, you know, it better still work without it. But people are freaking rude. And it's kind of frustrating. And I'm not trying to be a Karen here. Which, by the way, Karen, great name. It's my mother's name. So next time you call me a Karen, just so you know, which has happened twice in the past week, kiss my ass. Great name. Freaking love it. So you're not having the effect you think you're having when you're doing it to me, bud.
It's a red badge of courage, you son of a bitch.
Yeah. Lighten up, Francis.
Exactly. But, you know, I muted everything, da-da-da-da, and it happened to me in one respect. And I was just like, how did this get through? And the only thing I can think of is it's got to be the algorithms, the way that they're built. Because I've muted everything. You know, but I shouldn't have to stop living until I get a chance to watch hours and hours of television. I don't think that's necessarily fair because people can't contain their own excitement. Hey, I want you to be excited, but it's like just common decency. Make it through the weekend for Christ's sake. Make a little effort for other people. Have we stopped like just caring about how to think about anyone else but ourselves anymore. We just literally can't do it. That's how I feel it is anymore. People just 61 don't
million
care.
People just wanted to be on a TikTok hashtag. I mean, no, we all think about ourselves.
I don't. I try to think about other people. I don't care how grumpy I can sound sometimes. Trust me, I'm always trying to think about other people. And maybe that's my fault. I should stop thinking other people should be doing the same thing.
I also just want to see your algorithm some or your app sometime, because I don't understand how you get literally he'll be like, oh, stupid Blacklist fans spoiled this.
And do you want to know how?
I didn't get spoiled, and I'm the one that's like there all the time, and how? I don't see any of that stuff.
You freaking know how, because it's happened to me on Blacklist multiple times doing that podcast, because people tag me and they think they're not doing it. They're not trying to be malicious. I really don't think, I think it's genuine excitement, but it happens all the time. Either it's an algorithm thing where it just pops up that somebody had to talk about something, or someone tags me and asks me what I thought about so-and-so. Because I'm usually really good about responding to people if they reach out to me on social media, or at least I try to be. Even if it's minimal, you know, I try to. But I've been tagged multiple times with huge spoilers on things. it's never cool. Never cool. Nobody ever says, hey, did you see this thing before I ask you about it? Nobody ever says that. Unless they're really close friends and they know that I will cut them off from friend circulation.
It's true. He's done it to me before.
It's true. Tell me it's true, Troy. Is it not true? He's done it multiple times. We're like, it's not a spoiler. It's a spoiler. Well, I just said something badass happens in episode 3. Well, guess what? All of episode 3, all I'm doing is watching for something badass. God damn it. That's a spoiler. That ruined it.
Aaron got me back. He was like, episode 4 of Stranger Things. It's the best episode ever. The whole episode. I'm like, why is this episode so good?
Sure, serve you right.
I love you, buddy.
You're gonna be running up that hill with excitement. You are.
I saw a great meme earlier today. It was the guy in the Vecna costume with his head down and like looking frustrated, and it's every time Vecna hears Kate Bush.
I'm so sick of this song.
What is kind of assholery though, and this is just product of the medium, and I know we're guilty of this as well. The East Coast sees the TV show, and the West Coast doesn't see the TV show.
Yeah.
But the East Coast, boom, it's like the article is up at 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock, done, posted. Like the West Coast hasn't even got a chance to watch it yet, and you told everybody what the show is about.
Okay. Speaking of that, how about when they spoil it in the headline or the picture? Are you mad at that? Is that bullshit?
That's bullshit.
That's bullshit.
Okay. So we all three agree on that. Those particular editors and whatnot should probably be arrested, maybe detained.
Yeah.
Guantanamo.
We built it for a reason. I think that's a perfect reason.
We really did. That applies.
Yeah. Okay.
Just say season 8 finale recap, right? Don't say major character death.
And then show a picture of him.
And then show a picture of him.
Hey, we didn't say who it was. Well, you showed his picture. I mean, who would you think it was going to be? Jesus, that happens way too much. Way too much. I remember, and it's all out there. Is it okay if I say a character that popped up on Obi-Wan? If it's the only character you would probably assume would pop up on Obi-Wan?
If you haven't seen Obi-Wan, fast forward 5 minutes.
No, 30 seconds. Just 30
seconds.
Okay, so I didn't know when Darth Vader was going to pop or that he was going to be popping up, but I assumed because I knew Hayden Christensen was going to be in the show that at some point he would show up. And then there's a badass Darth Vader fight, and that's the headline I saw before the episode had just come out literally that morning. And I'm sorry, I'm not getting up at 5 a.m. to watch a goddamn Star Wars show. I'll watch it later that night like a normal person. And the headline was probably the badass Darth Vader fight of all time or something. And it's got Darth Vader. There's right there in the, I was like, Jesus Christ, you sons of bitches. Like you couldn't even, I didn't, number one, didn't know Vader was going to show up. Number two, didn't know there's going to be a badass Vader fight. You ruined both of those things for me. I hate your family.
Hate your family.
Jesus.
How did you not know Vader was going to show up?
I knew he would eventually, but I didn't know it would be that particular episode. And there would be a badass fight in that episode.
It was a badass fight.
He does show up throughout the series, I think, doesn't he?
Yeah, multiple times, but that was the first time he popped up.
Okay.
So you're talking about the first time he comes in, not the badass fight in the final.
No, not in the final. No, nothing in the final. It was like episode 2 or 3 or whatever it was. It's whenever they had a big lightsaber fight.
It was a big lightsaber fight in the finale too, but.
Well, you spoiled that. So Troy spoiled that if you haven't watched Obi-Wan, just so you know.
Right.
That's why I told him to skip ahead 5 minutes.
But you said 30 seconds. So because Aaron said 30 seconds, now they know that this is big badass.
Well, he's technically covered, I guess. I'm the asshole because though he spoiled it.
From my perspective, Aaron is the asshole.
Well, your perspective is what Aaron said, though. So it's not like you were. Never mind. I'm not having this fight with you.
His perspective is always that I'm the asshole. You know what? That's it. We're out of here. Remember, the next time you head to the theater to see Chris Hemsworth's glorious ass, which it was. I mean, it'll make you just never look at your own again because of the shame. Buy popcorn.
Is it better than America's Ass?
Well, you see it. So, yeah.
Okay. You see it in all its dimply glory?
Put it this way, John. I'm straight. Or at least I was when I walked in. When I walked out, lots of debate.
Okay, that's fair.
Love and thunder.
Is that what he calls his butt cheeks?
That's what I call them. Each cheek, love and thunder. The crack is and.
Right. That's where the lightning bolt goes.
That's where I'm putting it. Whoa!